Welcome to Between Two Ovaries, your go-to for all things women's health.
A lot of people just say like, oh, my vagina.
Yeah.
And yes. That's all of the above.
That's not your vagina.
No.
Well, it is.
We're here to cut through the confusion, bust some myths, and give you the facts straight from the experts.
You cannot still believe the amount of people that come to a gynecology clinic saying that they don't look right down there and they need something doing about it.
We're keeping it real, bringing you honest conversations about topics that matter to you.
Everything goes back to the menstrual cycle.
Yes. It's a low-risk procedure, but it's not a no-risk procedure.
From periods to menopause and everything in between, we've got you covered.
So whether you're here to learn, laugh, or just listen, you are in the right place.
As soon as I said it.
So, we wanted to do a little episode on PMDD, so premenstrual dysphoric disorder. Now, we thought it was really important to do this episode because it's getting a lot more traction recently. People have actually seemed to have heard about PMDD. So now, when more people are hearing about it and more people are talking about it, I think then there's a lot more misconceptions. Mm-hmm. People are unsure what it is, and we wanted to kind of dispel some myths. And we've also got a special guest.
Yeah, so we're very excited. So a very warm welcome to Keisha.
Thank you.
Welcome. So Keisha is a PMDD sufferer and strongly advocates for awareness after a difficult path to diagnosis. PMDD doesn't define Keisha. She is a wife, she is a mum of two, and she enjoys spending time with her family and her multitude of pets, which I really hope we're going to hear more about in this episode. So, thank you, Keisha, for joining us. We're really happy that you're here.
Thank you for having me.
Yeah, we thought it was really important that we had somebody on that has PMDD because, again, with all the misconceptions around it, we wanted to kind of try and dispel some of the myths because you aren't just PMDD. You have a lot more going on in your life than that. So we wanted to firstly, if it's okay, to jump in with some questions, ask you how you received a PMDD diagnosis. And I feel like this maybe is a little bit backwards way of looking at it, but I think because the path wasn't straightforward, like you didn't go to a doctor's, have a blood test, and then we're told you've got some kind of condition. We thought it might be best to kind of speak about how you got a diagnosis first, and then we can kind of work backwards from there, if it's okay.
Yeah, of course. So, I mean, I started having symptoms when I was a teenager, went to the GP, and I think a lot of teenagers, they have, like, you know, depression, anxiety, things like that. And it's not to say I didn't have depression and anxiety when I was a teenager, but definitely more going on. I saw loads and loads of people, and I don't actually know the name of them, but, you know, like, the psychologist people who, like, oversee people, and they do, like, reports and stuff. And there's literally one, and I tried to find it, actually, to, like, directly quote it, but it was something like, Keisha describes a clear two-week period of feeling okay, and then 2 weeks of feeling like she wants to die, basically. And then it was like, yeah, but she just has depression and anxiety. And it's like, okay, cool. And then...
crazy.
So that went on. I know. So that went on, and I'm kind of just, like, going back to the GP. I was on various medications and stuff, which we'll talk about later, I guess. And I had my daughter when I was 18. I was on medications and stuff that was kind of just, like, treating general stuff.
So, like, background anxiety, depression.
Yeah, it was, like, general which kind of, like, I mean, they are symptoms of PMDD, you know, in those, like, 2 weeks or 10 days, whenever it is, however long people experience those symptoms for. But I don't know, I guess then and even now, like, GPs didn't really even know what it was at all, and I didn't know what it was either. Yep. Like, it was, and so... Basically, so I had my daughter. I started to notice more when it was in the month that I was, like, having the worst, like, symptoms of, like, you know, bad mental health and stuff. And then I saw an advert pop up on Facebook, and it was like, are you a woman who has these symptoms at this time of the month? And I was like, huh. I was like 22 or 23 at this point, so, you know, it'd been going on for as long as I had periods, and I started my period when I was like 13, so it's like, you know, almost, what, 10 years. And it was like, sign up for a study, and I'm like a chronic chronically apply for studies and, like, research and stuff. So I was like, yeah, I'll do that. It was a drug trial for PMDD, and so I, like, sent the email over. And
so at this point, you didn't know what PMDD was.
I had no clue what it was.
Like, but you were like, but these symptoms.
Yeah, this sounds like me. Yeah,
this is me.
Yeah, so, like, So I sent the email, and the woman was like, yeah, so you've just got to fill this mood diary out for 3 months, and then, like, we can decide whether or not you have it. Mm-hmm. I did it. It was, like, really extensive questions, like, every single day of the month for 3 months. And at the end, she was just like, yeah, so you've got PMDD. And I was like,
oh, wow.
Cool.
So that's
like,
how you got a
and
diagnosis.
That is how the diagnosis came about, yeah. No, so way. So then, like, I did the trial after that.
It's crazy hearing you say that in your report from the psychologist, it literally said 2 weeks of the month.
Like,
actually just, they wrote down what
they,
it was.
Yeah. Exactly, yeah. And then, but even, they were like, oh, but we'll just give you medication.
It's
that
like then still actual catchphrase, see what you, like, say what you see.
Yeah.
they've literally written it down, yeah. And then it goes back.
And had you already been kind of keeping, because you said that you noticed a cycle to your, like a pattern to your symptoms, had you already been keeping a bit of a diary yourself?
It wasn't that I was keeping a diary of my moods, but I've always tracked my period, yeah. So it was just more that I was more self-aware, I think, yeah. And just became a little bit more like, oh, okay, there is actually a pattern to this, rather than it just being like, I don't know, yeah.
Wow. That's such an interesting way to get a diagnosis.
I know,
as well,
I know.
So it's definitely that work. Like, you did the work.
Imagine
that
advert hadn't come. I might not even have one now.
Yeah.
Good job your phone was listening to you.
I know.
The one time it comes in handy. Yeah.
She wasn't buying some random thing from Instagram. She was actually getting a medical diagnosis.
It was, like, really late in the night as well. I think I was up with Freya or something, because she's, you know, still slept, like, horrible at 3. And I was like, ugh. Just on my phone scrolling, waiting for her to fall back to sleep. And I was like, oh, yeah. Apply for that at, like, 3 a.m. Wow.
What was that? Just, you might as... Can you tell us about the study? Did it help?
So the study was a drug trial that was looking into it was like basically replacing something that people with PMDD don't have much of. When I don't know, it's quite a long
deficiency. Yeah. They're replacing.
It's
something?
Like, so when your body, this is how I understand it. And this is what was explained to me. When your body, when you like produce the progesterone, your body breaks it down into two things, mm-hmm. and one of those things affects the emotions part of your brain, and the other one almost like counterbalances that one, and they should sort of be produced in equal amounts, mm-hmm. but the one that counterbalances it doesn't in people with PMDD, and this drug was an artificial version of that, basically.
Okay. Did it help with your symptoms?
Well, no, but I actually had the placebo, which I found out like a year after the study. So I actually joined the study really selfishly thinking, I'm going to get, I think, I can't remember how long it was that I was taking the medication. Let's say it was 3 months. I'm not entirely sure. I was like, I'm going to get 3 months of like nothing. This will work and I'll be like great for 3 months and I'm not going to have the symptoms, rather than being like, I'm feathering the, you know, thing.
Yeah. That is, I think, I don't think there's anyone that altruistically really goes in thinking,
do you know what I
don't
often do though? Like, oh, I often do. Yeah, often with studies and stuff that I've done, I'm like, oh, this will be better for like people in the further down, you know, and like,
but you also do kind of want to try the drug that's for sure potentially going to help you symptoms,
so it was an injection as well. It wasn't even like I just had to take a tablet, like it was injections every other day for 2 weeks before your period was due.
And it was so it was a blind trial, so they didn't tell you?
No, I only found out a year later when I found out like the results of the actual study, and it turned out that it didn't, there wasn't, I said
didn't
other things,
okay,
but
that's a shame.
Yeah, it didn't help, and it was done here,
but
in Germany,
but it helped
Germany,
you to be fair to be able well, to get
got the diagnosis.
It got the diagnosis. Yeah, so it definitely it definitely helped in that way.
And we've said a lot about like symptoms and sort of touched on depression and anxiety, but I personally don't know much about PMDD. What other things did you find were symptoms and sort of made you think this isn't normal?
So suicidal thoughts, probably like a big one, hopelessness, irritability, like incredible irritability where everyone, it's like the feeling that everyone is just there to annoy you, like, and like, but they're doing it intentionally. And then another one for me is like, I almost get completely emotionless. Like, I do not, no matter how much I care about you or love you, I do not care about you in that time. Like, it's like I could say horrible, nasty things and just watch someone cry. It just sounds horrible.
And feel nothing.
And feel nothing. Oh, and just be like, almost like disgusted that you're upset. Like, it's so intense.
Yeah.
It really numbing and like just kind of, it's almost like being a different person, you know, and then coming out
and
of it.
And it's just for them days around.
Just for
cycle.
Them days, and then period comes and I'm like, oh, whoops.
Different person.
Sorry.
Yeah.
How long did those symptoms tend to last with you? Was it up to 2 weeks? Or?
It was, about 2 weeks. Yeah. From ovulation really up until, and I ovulate quite early, so.
Oh, so a long time. Yeah.
So you've got 2 weeks, your luteal phase, so that's the second part of your cycle. So after ovulation, you've got that 2 weeks where progesterone becomes more dominant. So you've got the 2 weeks where you're feeling awful, like you've just said all these different symptoms. And then you have your period, which is not the best time of your life because you're obviously bleeding, you potentially have got cramps as well. Mm-hmm. And then you've got what, like a window of what,
like 7 days?
Yeah.
Where you feel
where
okay.
You're feeling okay. Yeah. It's quite a lot of your life, really. Isn't
it's
it?
A lot, yeah. So yeah. It's more than half of your year, isn't it, when you put it, especially if you ovulate early on in your cycle. So you're actually only getting 7 days or so of feeling normal. Yeah. And then you're straight back into another 2 weeks of feeling horrendous.
Yeah, it must be
and
really
so
hard, yeah.
In this study, you were getting the placebo drug, but have you tried any other like treatments or anything that worked or didn't work?
So in terms of treating just the PMDD, which obviously only came after the trial, I was given two options, which are apparently they're not actually directly for PMDD, but they're like the ones that are shown to work the best for PMDD. And one was using estrogen gel every day. And then I had the marine coil as well to protect my womb, I think that's what it's for. And the other option was fluoxetine, which is also known as Prozac, which I didn't pick just because I have been on quite a lot of antidepressants in my life and I just didn't want to go back to that. And it for me, they just didn't help me.
Right.
Although I did try fluoxetine, not last year, the year before, because I had to come off the gel and the coil in order to have our second baby. And I really wasn't a good year. So did like go to fluoxetine and it did help. But I didn't love taking it.
Right. And did you find that the estrogen gel and the Marina coil
helped?
Amazing.
Did help you completely got rid of it all.
Oh, really good.
I can't wait to get it back.
And had you tried any other things prior to that? Because a lot of the time not just with PMDD, but with kind of any kind of gynae condition where you can treat with hormones, it's a real trial and error approach until you find something that works. Mm-hmm. Was that the first thing you tried, or had you tried other things as well?
The first thing that I'd tried with a medical professional, knowing what it was, you know, like
can I just keep that one step there? So you did the trial. Someone was just like, ah, "Girl, you got PMDD."
Yeah.
Then you had the placebo. And then where did you go from there? Because this is what people find difficult, getting kind of like, I know you had kind of Facebook diagnosis through then through professionals as well. Yeah. But then could you go back to your GP and say, look, I've got this? Or who did you see?
Yeah, so the lady who oversaw the trial in the women, she wrote like a little slip. I actually found that the other day as well. And I forgot it even existed. It was like diagnosis, PMDD, and then it was like treatment options. And it said fluoxetine or the estrogen gel and the coil. And then I took it to the GP and was like,
okay.
Yeah.
Great. I wouldn't have known if it had been that easy. To like, in a sense,
I guess you've gone like a different way around, which is great. You got your diagnosis, but you've gone the non.
Yeah, I mean, I went to someone more, I guess, experienced, and then took it to the GP rather than the GP then referring me on to.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. What about, so say that hadn't happened? Well, now you've got that experience. For people who are listening who think maybe they have PMDD or have PMDD but are struggling to get treatments, what kind of advice would you give them for like? If they were going to their GP, what advice would you give them to help them get the most out of that consultation? You know, like, should they go with certain information? Or
I would go and basically say, I think I have this, rather than being like, these are my symptoms, what do you think?
Yeah.
I would personally go and say, look, this is what I think it is, and, like, what can you do about it if it is that? Because I feel like they'll go to, like, so many other avenues before actually thinking about that one. And some of them, I reckon some of them still don't even know that PMDD actually is a thing.
I think you're right there, because it's not even though there's more awareness than there used to be, it's still not amazing. Like with a lot of gynae conditions and also a lot of mental health conditions, the awareness amongst like medical professionals isn't always as good as it could be. You can advocate for yourself, and that's a really good thing to do.
Was their Facebook page the first thing you'd seen about PMDD?
Yeah.
So that was the you saw the symptoms and thought, and then.
Yeah, because I think as a woman as well, you're kind of just led to believe that like it's normal to feel like bad before your period you know, I don't know, just that it's just part of being a woman. You just have to accept it. And I guess it's not. I mean, I don't particularly talk about with my friends. Well, I do maybe sort of now, but like before. When I was younger, about like exactly how you feel before that time.
It's hard to know what's normal and not
and
normal, because
I will say as well, when you've got PMDD in that time, it's very hard to go, I know this is because of that, and not just you know, I don't know how to explain it. Like, I can now quite well tracking periods really helps me to know that that's probably why I feel the way that I do. Mm-hmm. But beforehand, it was just, this is how I feel. Mm-hmm. And I'm just acting how I feel, and it's everyone else. It's not me. It's, yeah. So yeah. I think, like, it's hard to actually, like, have that awareness to then go, oh, this is might be something else.
Yeah. I guess you've also got the thing that, like, you're tracking your cycles and you can tell that your symptoms fit in with your cycle. Mm. So you know that there's a cause, which is the fact that it's related to your period. Mm. So then you might think that it ends there and this is just how you are on your cycle.
Yeah.
But
yeah.
You need someone else, ideally, to then be like, no, actually, Keisha, like, that is an extreme version of how you should be feeling just before your period. Yeah. But it's hard for you to know that when you don't even know what PMDD is.
Yeah.
It's never been mentioned before.
I forgot to mention before, but for the PMDD diagnosis, I was diagnosed with psychothermia, which led to them wanting to put me on mood stabilizers, which are quite a heavy thing. Like, you know, I was on, beforehand, I was on, like, kind of bog standard antidepressants, I'd say, like sertraline, tazepine, citalopram, which was on for years. And then they're like, yeah, no, we want to put you on quetiapine. Mm-hmm. And, like, I don't know, I think about now how the antidepressants affected me. Like, I feel like they really affected, like, my memory, which I don't know. I don't know if it did, but I feel like they did, and that really bothers me now. Excuse me.
It's
fine, don't worry.
It's fine. Feel good.
Have a little sip. So you're saying that you feel like they really affected you?
Yeah. I do want to carry on.
Yeah. You just go off from like you just last.
Yes.
Yeah, so they really affected me with my, like I said, my memories and stuff. And then they wanted to put me on quetiapine, so they took me off the citalopram and was like, oh, we'll get you ready for this quetiapine. And that's when I noticed that my moods really did get worse. So although I had the up and downs when I was on the citalopram, they were kind of numbed. So, like, it worked to a degree, but it was like the whole month was just numb and boring and flat. Like, there was no better. Yeah. It was just grey, like,
which,
all of it. Yeah.
Even though it might have handled some of the symptoms.
Exactly, like, it really...
You don't want to just live your life like that.
Yeah, but it was only because... So I breastfed my daughter, and it was only when I stopped breastfeeding her, they were like, now we can put you on something more intense. That when I came off the citalopram, that's when my PMDD symptoms went up, and I went, oh, no, this is, like, awful. Mm-hmm. Saw the Facebook study, and then was like, ah, okay. Yeah. But it's like, if I hadn't seen that, I might still be on flipping...
Yeah, well, it's hard as well, because if you've given a diagnosis, then you will have thought, right, okay, this is what's causing that, and I can only do things to handle that. And sometimes it could stop you from kind of looking to see if there's anything else that might be causing it.
Yeah.
So I mean,
it's sort of slightly relieving your symptoms, but then giving you, you know, rather than you having something that would be a specific treatment for PMDD, so it would treat the time of the month when your symptoms are bad, but then the other times you're fine, you were having something that was kind of suppressing your symptoms and your mood the entire time.
Which isn't the case for some people, because some people just find that actually they're really helpful to go on, like, an SSRI, an antidepressant, will help them, and they will be just much better all of the time. Mm-hmm, so that is a treatment that is widely used. But
definitely,
you don't want to look back and be like, oh no, my whole life was dulled.
Because
if that's how they made you feel. When you say that it was dulled and some of the symptoms were better, what symptoms were better?
It's just like everything wasn't as intense. I feel like it maybe took it down from like extreme to like just manageable. You know, like it was not great, but it just wasn't good. Like, that's the kind of the way.
So when you were saying that you were kind of thinking about kind of self-harm, suicide, that kind of stuff, that would be less intense, or it would just be that you wouldn't feel as kind of as much rage, or you wouldn't feel as much,
just all of it. I'd say all of it was just less than not being treated.
But not there.
Enough to notice, but just not enough for me to be like, this is
good.
Yeah.
I suppose in one way it must be a bit comforting, because you being kind of dulled rather than kind of having these extremes, would that be a bit better? I don't know.
Well, I guess if you don't know there is a better option, but knowing now that there was a better option, and I was on citalopram for like 5 years, you know, that's quite a lot of my life was, you know... Now I get a bit angry that it wasn't noticed sooner, and actually I could have enjoyed, like, my daughter's younger years better than I did, you know. Yeah. That's,
It's, but it laughably was noticed sooner.
Quite a lot sooner as well, you know.
Like, intensely. This is for 2 weeks of every month.
I wish I could have found it, because honestly,
I think there definitely needs to be more out there about it, because there could be a lot of people that are in the same position as you were and still don't know what PMDD is, haven't heard of it, don't think that that's an option as to what could be causing them to feel like that.
Because, and as Nick said, like, there will be people out there that, and we know that there are people out there with mental health conditions, anxiety, low mood, depression, that then get flared up around the time of their cycle, who would benefit from something maybe like quetiapine, something that helps them all month long. But then you've also got people whose symptoms are just related to the cycle, and PMDD is, that should be the diagnosis there. But then if someone says to you, I know you've probably got this, but let's just try this and see if this helps, that's fine, because it's like an informed decision. But if no one's even thought of PMDD, then it must be quite frustrating looking back, thinking that you had essentially not the wrong treatment, but it wasn't quite right.
The right
one.
I think it must be hard when like other mental health conditions do overlap, because like I definitely did have a level of depression as a teenager and anxiety, and still have anxiety generally now. But how I manage that now is very different to how I felt when I was a teenager, and you know how, I mean, a lot of teenagers do feel quite depressed, don't they? And like,
it's not a great time, is it?
Yeah, so you're just like depressed for the other 2 weeks, but then you're depressed and actually want to like kill yourself and actually hate everyone and whatever. I can see where there's kind of like that struggle to go, well, this is linked to your cycle and not just a bad patch, you know. And then if you don't have regular periods, or you don't ovulate regularly, or you don't track them, then that can become even more confusing.
It's hard, because it's not like you can just do a blood test and be like, right, this is what you've got. It's there's lots of symptoms for different stuff psychologically that'll overlap.
For sure.
And it can be hard to determine what it is to cause it. But if you don't know what it is, you don't know how you can help. It's hard.
And I think one thing, like we talked about, you said that sort of our tagline, the Marina Coil, was like amazing, it really helped, you wish you knew sooner. But a lot of people now like seem to want to not use hormones. So you said you track your periods and that kind of helped things fit in. Is that like the self-help, self-care kind of things? Is there anything else there that you think?
For me, I'd say that's the thing that helps the most. I know that people take vitamins and supplements. I have tried, but I probably haven't tried long enough without anything else to say that they do work or not. So ashwagandha root is one that's meant to be quite good. Magnesium, calcium and zinc are all supposed to be quite good. I think generally they're all meant to be quite good for women's health so those things. And then there are a couple of links that I was sent after the study, which truthfully I've not looked much at, but are meant to be like,
if you send us those links, what we can do is put them at the end of the episode as well, and then people might find them useful.
Cool, we'll do.
Any of those vitamins and minerals and stuff, did you use any and think that you felt a difference? Or
this is what I was just saying, like I have used them, but personally couldn't say that they definitely did help me. Just because I feel like there's so many other factors that like can make you feel good or make you feel bad, you know.
I feel like placebo as well. I feel like I'll take a vitamin one day and I'll be like, I feel so healthy.
Definitely.
Has it worked?
Yeah. And I've also not ever been not on something really, you know, to help with something. So it's, you know, whether or not it would be that or that, it's hard to say. But I do, the other thing as well is that there are some Facebook groups which I found quite helpful. And a lot of people in there do find that these supplements for them work. So
the self-help groups sound really good, though. So did you find those yourself?
I'm in a Facebook group for everything. Every pet I've ever owned, I'm in that group, and I'm still in them.
I think it's nice. It's a bit of a sense of community as well.
And definitely.
It's nice to speak to, or even just read messages from other people that are experiencing similar things that you are as well.
Yeah. And, like, not everyone in the group is in the same point in their, like, cycle at the same time. So if you post and you're in that really bad place, other people can rationalise and go, oh, this isn't gonna last, you know, like you'll be okay, or you know, whatever.
Like a little group of friends.
You have said
that there's a downside to those as well, though, because some people have got extreme views. So for example, a Facebook page isn't like regulated by somebody saying, actually, guys, that's not right, or that's not true, or that's not happened, or that's not been the right information that you've been given. So I think that can be quite difficult, especially if somebody's in a dark place and doesn't have the support of other people around them and they're relying solely on a Facebook
group.
Yeah, of course.
You've got, there's some risk, isn't there, to just being in a group of people that feel like you do. But generally, I found them pretty helpful and kind of...
Is there anything else, any self-help things, anything other than, obviously, vitamins and supplements are things that you can kind of do a bit of research on and see if they do help. And then self-help groups are an amazing resource as well. One of the things when you look into, like, how you can treat and manage symptoms of PMDD, as with a lot of things, it's, like, lifestyle factors, which is a bit of, like, broad term, isn't it? But did you find anything helped? Like, was there anything that you cut out, like caffeine, alcohol, smoking, or, like, anything you started that you would say actually helped or not? It's fine if not. But just for people who are listening, if they think, oh, maybe I'll try that, but I don't know what whether it'll be useful or not.
Yeah, so for me, I've never actually cut out any of those things. And... for long enough anyway and to notice a difference, but obviously I do think that if you do those things, it's probably going to benefit your life and, you know, your health. On the groups, people do try all kinds of stuff. Obviously people are very desperate, and you'll see people saying, "Oh, this really helped me," and they'll advise that thing or they'll advise that thing, this worked for me. And I mean, you see that in everything, don't you? I'm guilty of, I'm like, get the estrogen gel and the marina coil, it'll fix all your problems, but that might not actually work for
someone else.
But if it's helped you, you want to be able to pass
that. Of course,
you want to help others, yeah.
Yeah, but yeah, for me, I haven't actually like cut out any of those things for long enough.
And in a sense, when you'd got that treatment and you were so good, in a way you're kind of like, well, I know what the cure is for this.
I don't have to do anything else now.
Well, that's perfect, isn't it? Because then you don't have to change your lifestyle, but you've got a medication that's like helping your symptoms. That's amazing.
Because I think changing your lifestyle, if it's going to help for certain parts, is great. But if you had to fully change your life and like live a life in the way that you weren't enjoying it,
you don't want to just not that much benefit.
Especially when you're in that period as well, like you know, I might be able to do all of that. I might be able to not drink caffeine or have one coffee a day for 2 weeks, and then, you know, in the time where I feel like awful, I don't care. Like it's not, again, it's not me, it's everyone else. You know, it's,
so we've touched a bit on about how there's a lot of stigma with not just PMDD, but, you know, any kind of women's health issue and mental health issue.
So have you, because it's not just women's health, it's women's health and it's like a dual stigma, isn't it?
Have you found, either from personal experience or from, you know, talking to other people with PMDD, what are the biggest misconceptions that you get when, A, you maybe tell someone you've got PMDD, like in work or outside of work? What are the, like, frustrating things that you notice people think about it?
I think it's just, oh, it's just PMS, it's just bad PMS. You know, and some, I think I've been guilty of actually describing it in that way before.
Which I shouldn't.
No, I definitely shouldn't. But when people can't understand and they can understand PMS, like
and I don't think you're to blame for that, because actually when you look at what PMDD is, like what it's defined as, in the first few sentences it will say it's a severe form of PMS.
Because people have heard of PMS. And I don't even think it's been on the, I mean, if anyone knows differently, it's been on the mental health, is it the DSM?
It is now.
It hasn't been on that for that long. So, you know, I mean, not even sure it was on when I actually got my diagnosis. I think it was just kind of, oh, it's just severe PMS. Like, I'm pretty sure that's how it was actually explained to me. Right, and so, and I guess as well, when you haven't experienced regular PMS, how do I know it isn't just bad? You know, obviously I know now, but like, you know, at that time, I probably just thought, oh, this is just bad, like PMS.
But if you're not like talking to other people and you're not like, oh, Lorna, how do you feel before you're PMS? Like, you could be like, oh, Lorna's got the same feelings as me, but actually she's just coping with it much better. If you're not having those conversations, and they're difficult conversations that potentially you're not going to have when you go to the water fountain at work. How are you just before your period? Do you feel a bit rubbish for a few hours, or is it that for 2 weeks?
Do you know what's wild though? I actually speak to more people who say, oh, I actually feel like that, than I don't. Like, yeah. There are more women that I know that say to me, oh, I just thought that was, you know, I'll say how I feel or whatever in that period. And they go, oh, like, I feel like that. And I'm like, oh, well, you might have PMDD then. Yeah. And, like, you know, I don't know.
It goes back to the whole education as well. Like, we are going to do an episode about education.
Menstrual health.
About menstrual health, yeah. But really, there isn't a lot of education out there about what's not right.
Yeah.
A lot of the time you'll be told you're going to get a period and that's kind of it. But there's not a lot out there about what isn't right, whether it be like pain at a certain level or the way that you're feeling at a certain level.
Mm.
You don't know what's normal and what's not normal because you don't know any different.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
So it's hard to like realise if something's wrong.
And I guess you can't really, well, it's not great, and this is why we're doing this episode and why we're really great, that we're happy that you're here to talk about your experience, but we can't really blame people for not knowing what PMDD is. We can blame certain people, like professionals, but we can't blame the general public because they've never really been told. Like, we don't get told about it in schools.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
we don't even know about it.
Yeah.
If you might have the condition. So I bet that is really frustrating to like have to explain to people what PMDD actually is when they have no understanding of it at all, or you think it's just like, oh yeah, it's just a women's health problem, it's not a big deal.
The when you said them saying, oh, it's just bad PMS, that's exactly what Vicky Patterson said on her interview as well, that people say it's just bad PMS and they don't
know.
It's
like
quite understand.
It's a totally different diagnosis.
It's quite interesting is the documentary that she did. Was it on Channel? It might have been Channel 4. I'm not entirely sure.
I probably need
to check my facts about that. But she did do an interview and it was in the lead up to her wedding and it showed that she was like, she's so excited, she's getting married, and then just within kind of a 24-48 hour window, she was like, I can't get married, I don't want to get married, I literally feel like not being here, I can't cope. It was just the juxtaposition between the two people was just massive.
Yeah.
And I think stuff like that really does bring it to the forefront of people's minds. Because if you can visualise somebody going through this, you can kind of get your head around it a little bit more.
That isn't just bad PMS, is it?
Like, not just bad PMS.
Funnily enough, 2023... I got married in the end of October 2023 and we were like planning to have the baby at the soon after the wedding. So I actually came off all the Marina Coil and the estrogen gel at the beginning of the 2023. So I had quite a similar experience that year of like it being like, oh, I was excited for the wedding, I was planning the wedding and everything, but then would have periods where I was just like, no. And like Jamie, my wife, she's like, she tells everyone, she's like, we nearly didn't get married. And I don't know for sure whether or not we were at that like really bad point. I mean, she remembers it to be like, awful, and it wasn't great, but
that's a really good example because we were going to ask you as well about how it kind of affects your day-to-day life, because we know, and you've talked about, there are some like psychological, some physical symptoms that affect you, but then obviously that can affect people around you
Sure.
So how has it affected your day-to-day life and your relationships and that kind
of thing? For me, it probably most has affected my romantic relationships. One of the main symptoms, and I was going to mention this earlier, but it's called relationship OCD, and that's not something I ever really thought was I didn't know it was a thing. It's something that I've kind of like googled, like, why do I feel this about my partner? Like, and it's intense, it's really bad. Like, I can go from being like madly in love with her to like the next thing, like, ugh, you repulse me, like, and questioning everything, and it's like, it's horrible, and I hate feeling it. And this is why for me, tracking my cycle really helps, because I can go, I only feel this because I'm in this time of my month, and then if I don't feel like that after, then I know that, you know, that's not actually how I feel, and
you're still
and then I had a relationship before that where, I mean, it was a bad relationship, but then she would say to me, well, you only feel like that because of your PMDD, and it would be this control thing, and I actually stayed for so much longer. Even though it was a bad relationship, she'd tell me it was the PMDD, and I go, it must be that. You know, so then that affected me in that way, where I didn't really trust my own judgment of of that relationship, I guess. And then in terms of before, going back to that, like, I just make people cry.
Aww.
I can be really nice. I'm not a nasty person, you know, I'm really not, but like, I don't care. And I've sent emails before being really like, really ragey and like, you've done this on purpose, and then have to face them, you know, like the next week and be like, Sorry.
That's the thing, it's not, that isn't you, is it? That's a symptom of your diagnosis.
But they don't know that. Don't know and that. You know, if I was to say, I was just too hard.
With an email being like, sorry, PMDD.
Yeah, like, no, and even if I did, what, you know.
And also, I think it makes PMD not be sound like a proper diagnosis by being like, sorry, that was my PMDD. It's exactly. A bit like, sorry, the dog ate my homework.
It feels
very much like women's problems. Mm-hmm. Like, actually, you're like, no, this was PMDD. It was PMD talking.
Yeah.
It was not me. Because you've said 100%. You don't feel like you in a sense for that time of that kind of 2 weeks, but it just kind of it belittles it in a way by kind of saying, oh, sorry, it was just not me.
I think especially it must be really hard to do that when people don't have an awareness of what it is. How did you find it in work? Did you have any problems with it? Because I know that now recently I think there are like workplace adjustments that should be and have to be made for people who have PMDD, but I don't know how well that actually is rolled out or what you've even heard of.
I guess I've been kind of looking at that actually. Like, I mean, I got my diagnosis when I was like 22, and up until then, I'd been like self-employed and just kind of, or had the odd job. I hadn't really had like, I'd say like a proper adult job sort of thing. So I haven't needed that in my work. Place and my work now are fairly flexible without me having to say it's because of X, Y, and Z. You know,
that's good.
And I also had like a male manager who was just like anything mention of a woman's problem, he'd be like, "Oh, just okay, just take him home, take him home."
Imagine. I don't want you bleeding all over the office.
Cool. Can I go back to a question that we weren't actually going to ask you, but I've just kind of thought it might be quite interesting.
Love this. We're just putting you on the spot. Sorry.
When you were pregnant, what happened with your PMDD?
It went away. But I did, when I was pregnant with my first, my mental health wasn't that good anyway, because it was, I was just struggling with general anxiety then. I was quite bad at the time. And so I remained on citalopram all the way through that pregnancy, all the way until she was like 3.5. This pregnancy completely went.
Yeah.
And then came back. And I've got my period back 4 months after having him, and it's back and forth. And the other thing that affects life-wise is that we have to now plan when we have the next baby based on how long we think I can cope with these symptoms. So I was very much like, oh, well, with my first, I didn't get my period back until she was 8 months. So I was like, okay, well, then that gives us a little bit longer, you know, let's say like 6 months until we want to try it again. But now it's come back sooner. I'm like, no, we need to try again when he's one. Like, so then I can just have the baby and get back on. But then, I mean, I might not have actually had one that soon if it wasn't for having to factor in.
You said that you breastfed with your first as well. How were your symptoms during breastfeeding? Did you find that they came back or were they still okay?
So long as my periods went there, I was okay. But then, so I fed my first for quite a long time, and once my periods come back, breastfeeding didn't, for me, affect anything. It was just as bad.
Just more related to your periods. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Okay. So now, presently, I know obviously you're in between deciding regarding pregnancies and not on treatment, but kind of suffering with the symptoms that you have with your PMDD. Is there a kind of a multidisciplinary care for that? So we've said that we know it's a mental health problem and also kind of a under the umbrella of women's health. Do you kind of get to see both sides, or do you get to see somebody that could help from a psychology side with CBT or something like that? Or is it very much focused on the gynae? Do you see anybody?
So I don't see anyone. After the study, I was just handed back to my GP.
Yeah.
They didn't really do anything other than go, what do you want? I'll give you that. You know, out of those two options that I mentioned before. And then I was just left to it, I guess, because it was symptom-free. And then when we were talking about having our eldest, our youngest, sorry, I went back and was like, look, I'm going to have to come off this. And actually, the GP who I'd seen was not even really aware that there was anything. Was like, what do you mean? And I was like, well, you know, because I've had this history and they've got this, and I'm going to need something. I'm going to need to like talk about it with someone, because I can't just be left for a year.
Catch you on it.
Yeah, and not have some medical professional know that I'm then going to have these symptoms back, but not have anything. Yeah,
you need like something in place as a
support, so that's why I then was given the fluoxetine as a kind of, because fluoxetine you can take as and when you, it's not an SSRI that you have to take for it to then build up. You can, for a treatment of PMDD, just take it during those days and then come off it and then take it again, which I quite liked about it. There was only a couple of months like that I needed to use it. Basically.
And did it help when you?
It did help the symptoms, but it had other symptoms that, like other side effects that I didn't like.
You preferred being on the coil.
Yeah, for sure.
Did you ever just have the coil, or was it always the coil and the estrogen?
So it's actually the estrogen that treats the symptoms, not the coil.
So you want to suppress ovulation.
Yeah.
So that is the main, the main aim of treatment.
Yeah.
So you would just be on the estrogen really to suppress ovulation, but we know from past episodes that you can't just be on estrogen because then you're just growing the lining of your womb and potentially could go into a hyperplasia, a typical hyperplasia, or endometrial cancer.
So the coil was for like health reasons and then the cream to treat.
Yeah.
And for someone listening who might think they've got PMDD or might have PMDD, do you have any top tip or top piece of advice that you'd give them?
Yeah, so track your periods. That is the like main one that I would say, because you just having more awareness to where you are in your cycle makes a big difference. And you can, like, you, when I'm in that period, I might make less social plans. Or, I mean, I find sleeping quite is quite helpful because I'm not thinking, I'm not in my head, I'm not like around people to be nasty to them, so I might go to bed a little bit earlier, so I'm not stewing on my phone or trying to get in a fight on someone on Facebook or whatever, you know. And the other one as well is don't make any big decisions in that period, in those in that time as well, because like I said, especially the relationship OCD one, I know people who break up with their partners on like a, on a monthly basis because they're like, I hate you and everything about you, but then regret it, you know. Just all the big decisions as well, impulsiveness.
That's really good advice.
Yeah. Really good advice, actually. I thought you were going to say track your symptoms so that you can advocate for yourself when you see a health professional, which I also think is good piece of advice. But I didn't even think about, like, guys, don't make the biggest decisions of your life because you're not in the best headspace. Yeah. Like, that's a really good
advice. Do you use an app to track your periods?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I use one called My Days. It's got adverts now, which is really frustrating, but I don't like change, so I won't get a new one. That's the one I've always used.
But, you know, I mean, obviously it's great that you use apps, but actually for people who maybe don't want to or don't have access to apps, you can just track your cycle by writing down. Even just a notepad, you can write down like when your period is and when your symptoms are.
The International PMDD that we mentioned earlier, they have a cycle tracker, so you can kind of print it out and write in and like tick out boxes.
You've got to do what suits you.
What works.
But it's also, I mean, we're not sponsored by an app. But yeah, some people, I would be someone that like, I do like apps. I use apps. They make my life easier, but I prefer if I can to just do it like incognito, so no one's getting my data. I don't know why I'm like this.
I wouldn't think about that. I just don't like, you know, we had this discussion the other day, I don't really like being on my phone if I don't need to be on my phone.
You like to write
things
down.
Hence I have a paper diary.
I have a paper calendar.
Yeah, I love a paper calendar.
No, paper calendar.
Oh,
a
paper calendar.
A real, real life one.
Yeah, that's like,
I love paper calendar.
No, a Jamie will do.
I carry around with me everywhere.
I like writing stuff down.
I don't. I'm like, wait for me to get home and then I'll let you know.
That's nice though, because that gives you more of a like, you know,
that gives you time to like, says
that are you free on this date and you don't want to tell them that you are. You're like, oh, I'm not sure.
I check my calendar and it's not free.
So we also have a few myths and we thought it might be quite fun to chat about them with you on here. We don't expect you to like completely bust these myths and tell us all the facts, but we'll just have a little discussion about them. So one of the first one that we've got is, like you mentioned about people saying PMDD's not real, it's just bad PMS, which, as we've discussed, is not the case.
No. And on all the guidelines that kind of tell you about diagnosis, PMDD is not just a bad form of PMS, it's something completely different. PMDD is actually a psychiatric condition. It's not related to having abnormal hormone levels, it's related to you being so it's not just bad PMS.
No. That's like, we definitely want that message to come across from the episodes about PMDD.
And I think one that like tails off from that is when we were having a little look online, a lot of people were saying like, well, there's no point chasing a diagnosis because no one can do anything. Mm-hmm. But I think we've kind of talked about that's not true, is
no,
it?
Like, no, not true at all.
No, and especially from your experience, you've actually, you did find a treatment that worked perfectly for, sure. for you.
Yeah.
It's just unfortunate that you have to start and stop it based on yeah. when you want to have a baby. Yeah. But, you know, at least there is, it's mm-hmm. there's hope out there that, like, you will hopefully, if anyone's listening with PMDD, hopefully we'll find a treatment that works for them.
For sure.
Yeah. Yeah. And you didn't even need, in a sense, the trial and error. You're like, you tried that treatment and you were like, gosh, I'm a different person. Oh, this
yeah.
is amazing.
Yeah. yeah. I was, yeah.
One of them, I don't know if this is true or not, maybe we just get your perspective on what you thought of it, but we found that PMDD, people said PMDD was worse in the evenings. Is that ever anything you've experienced? Or I suppose it's different for
I think
everyone,
it depends what you're doing in the evening. I think, like I said, like sometimes if you're in your own head, and that's this is with any mental health condition, yeah. I think if you're in your own head and you, you know, got time to think about stuff and fester and stuff, it can be worse. Yeah. You know, some of my worst moments, I guess, have been in the evenings, but that doesn't, I wouldn't say that it was because yeah. it was evening. I think it just depends what happens.
Maybe just
know.
Less.
If I pick a fight with Jamie in the evening, then I can spiral really badly and, you know, get into like such a state. And whereas in other time of the month, and I might not have done that, but that's just because we argued in the evening, you know. It's, yeah. mm-hmm. For me, yeah. it doesn't make a difference.
Yeah.
But.
Yeah. Another one we had was, and I guess we've sort of touched on it, is that you have to have a regular cycle to be able to have PMDD. And I guess we've said you have to ovulate.
Mm-hmm.
But for someone who maybe has like PCOS as well, which we've talked about in another episode, where you don't always ovulate,
I think
that's a tricky one, isn't
yeah.
it?
Yeah. I think it would just be a lot more difficult getting a diagnosis because
yeah.
going back to that first bit where you were like, Keisha has symptoms yeah. for two weeks yeah. of every month. Well, that's really easy, but if you're PCOS and you're
even then it's not
regular,
yeah.
Yeah.
well, it's easier to see, not yeah. to deal with.
Yeah. To yeah. actually make a plan.
I guess you'd say like people who have irregular periods mm-hmm. can also have PMDD.
Oh, yeah.
And people who have PCOS can also have PMDD. Yeah. It's just probably more difficult yeah. to realise that that's what it is because yeah. it's harder to track your symptoms yeah. with your cycle.
I think it's interesting as well with when people with PMDD have gone through the menopause. I wonder if
that should resolve your symptoms.
Yeah.
So I've heard that people with PMDD have really bad time during menopause.
During like the perimenopausal yeah. period. Yeah.
But that's probably because you're ovulating all over the shop.
Yeah.
Mm.
So it's
so
probably
hormones all over the shop.
Not that it's easy to deal with having 2 weeks that you know there's going to be terrible. Mm-hmm. It's not at all. But you would know it's that 2 weeks because you can track your cycles yeah. really very easily.
Yeah.
A lot of people, when they're going through perimenopause, menopause, it's difficult to track cycles because you kind of ovulate a bit all over the shop. So your periods can be yeah. heavier, lighter, one month there, one month not. And I think it would be a lot more difficult to work out what the symptoms were and what was going on. Yeah. Kind of the same with PCOS.
Yeah.
Like, I think it would be a lot more difficult to work out exactly what was going on.
Yeah, yeah.
definitely.
And then as well, getting pregnant will cure your PMDD. So obviously we discussed that your symptoms mm-hmm. went away whilst you're pregnant, but I suppose it's the complexities, isn't it, of coming on and off the medication that is helping you as well.
And yeah. it's not going to be a cure.
It's not a cure. It's just a quick fix.
It's just a quick fix.
And it's a really difficult one as well. And I think people say this really too easily, like, just get pregnant.
Oh, yeah.
Well,
yeah.
what if you can't get pregnant?
Mm-hmm.
Or
also,
what if
you
don't
want
to
be? You can't just do that every time, can you?
Back-to-back
pregnant just to...
They're not, you know, permanent.
Say your symptoms are so bad that it's, like, affecting your relationships and, like, your mental health is really bad, then surely that's not the best time to then drop a bomb in your relationship and have a baby.
Yeah,
it's
yeah.
not as if babies make everything
if
easier.
If you don't have like a treatment plan for after as well, like
yeah.
you then just have PMD and a baby.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
that's not a great situation to be in, you know.
Not at all. So you might have some respite while you're pregnant,
mm-hmm.
but it's definitely
not a cure.
And having kind of a robust plan for afterwards.
Yeah, for sure.
Yeah.
When you've already got kind of massive change in hormones after you've had a baby, and some things to look after, which,
yeah. and no sleep.
I think also a robust plan before, because if you're on hormonal medication and that you have to go off
yeah.
to try get pregnant,
yeah.
as we said, pregnancy
really
is not always a
with, like,
you go off
of...
it and you're pregnant straight away. That can be. It can take time.
Yeah, yeah. Well, yeah. you were really sensible with going to see your GP and saying, look, I need to
yeah,
be on
sure.
a treatment to
yeah.
come off
yeah.
this treatment,
yeah.
Which made it probably a little bit easier, but obviously
sure.
not.
But I knew I had PMDD and I knew that,
yeah,
you
yeah,
know,
I
knew what I was like yeah. when I wasn't on something, so it's, yeah. In hindsight, I wish I'd just come off it a bit later, but a full year of it was a bit much, but, you know.
Mm.
Okay, and the last one, which, you know, we've spoken about a little bit, was that PMDD will totally go away if you get your supplements right. Mm. And I think we've said, like, life's too complicated for that, isn't it?
Yeah. I think they're probably, like, a good thing to take, but yeah. It's not going to...
I think if something works for you, stick with it. That's amazing.
And if you want to take them, take them.
Yeah. But if it doesn't, then it's up to you, isn't it?
Yeah. I don't think it's going to be a cure, is it, by any stretch of anyone's imagination? Well,
thank you so much. Yeah.
It's been great to have you on, and I hope that we have managed to dispel some myths around PMDD. Mm-hmm. And I think we've given kind of a broad overview of what it is, how it can be treated, how there is hope, and it's not kind of this is the end of the world. You know, we can think about it. I think it's that getting that diagnosis at the beginning, and as you've said, tracking your periods for so many reasons is really helpful when it comes to this.
For sure.
Well, thank you.
Yeah, it's been great. Thanks for coming on, our first real life guest. Really enjoyed it, yeah.
Well, thank you.
Lovely. Okay, so as always, just a quick disclaimer to say that everything we've discussed are our own opinions and shouldn't be taken as medical advice and are not associated with where we work.
Yeah, so if you found this episode interesting, comforting, you know, if you took anything away from it, please do like it on wherever you're listening to our podcast. Remember to subscribe, and if you've got a minute, leave us a review. Tell us what you thought.
So it might feel like a small thing, but it really does help make a big difference if you give a 5-star review, because it helps push the podcast out to more people so we can keep breaking down barriers, busting myths, and making sure that everyone has access to this kind of information.
Yeah, and we want these episodes to reach as many people as possible. So if you're up for being a part of that ripple effect, then please hit those buttons and help us spread the word.
And make sure that you're following us and engaging with our content on our socials at Between Two Ovaries.
Thank you.